What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. It's time to buckle up, running back truthers, because Danny and I are going to play nice with your favorite fantasy football position. We know that running backs can unlock league-winning upside. You're not breaking any news to us in the comments when you comment stuff like that. But the reason we usually avoid them is because you got to hit on them to unlock that league-winning upside. And today we're going to break down guys that can finish RB1 overall, the strategy involved with the double hero RB strategy. Getting those top five seasons with your early round running backs can definitely be a massive advantage. So today we're going to go through superhero RB or double hero RB, which is where you get two running backs early, obviously, do's, don'ts, theories, principles, and closing it out with dueling mock drafts as we've done for the hero video and for the zero video. So structure this video just like the other ones, define double hero RB and why it can be effective, the running back dead zone and why we definitely want to avoid it, especially with this strategy, picking your anchors and the types of running backs we want to go after, how scoring format affects double hero RB, and then we're going to close it out with dueling mock drafts, like I said. So Danny, take it away with double hero RB by definition.
Yeah, and double hero running back by definition is exactly what it sounds like. When you draft two anchor running backs early in your drafts, seems simple, seems straightforward, right? Well, sometimes despite drafting those two anchors, people will often mess it up by either drafting low ceiling options or continue hammering out running backs after they've already drafted their two early. So a proper double hero running back is when you get two through the first eight rounds, but you drafted those two in the first 3 to 4 rounds. Basically, you're trusting your projection. You're trusting your gut. You're saying, hey, I am drafting these two running backs early to be in my main running back 1 and 2 slot for the majority of the year. So while I draft these guys early, I can catch up at other positions in the other mid-round areas. A common mistake, like I said, people will draft these two and think that they got to fill out their depth, draft their RB3, draft their RB4, draft their RB5. But like we'll get into in this video, your running back selections need to be calculated shots, because when you're comparing the safety of the running back position as a whole to that of wide receivers, it's easy to see why we prefer wide receivers solely and why you guys view us as RB haters.
Yeah, and if you keep taking running backs, you're going to be behind the eight ball at those other positions, because while your league mates are drafting those other dead zone running backs that we don't love the projections of, you get to soak up the value at wide receiver. You can grab an elite tight end and grab an elite quarterback, and you can basically build a more balanced team than what a zero or a hero running back draft strategy can get you. And this strategy can work really, really well in home leagues, especially if you're in an advantageous draft spot where the best player available will be a running back at either of your picks. And we'll talk about that in a second. But the reason that everything we discussed in the zero and hero RB video still applies is because running backs still get injured a lot. They still get injured 19% of the time. They get a 6 or more game injury, 3.08 average games missed to the top 20 running backs in ADP over the last 9 years. And also too, wide receivers get injured at a far less rate at that point in time. So using this strategy, you're admitting that you know running backs get injured more. But what we're not going to do is pound out dead zone running backs in case our running backs get injured. What we're going to do is only take running backs who have elite upside and understand and recognize that they could get injured, and then we're probably screwed if they do. So not only do we still want to avoid the dead zone with this strategy, I think it becomes especially important because we are not drafting in case our early round running backs miss. In the dead zone, running backs miss at a substantial rate. 2 out of 3 times, basically, you're missing on your dead zone running back since 2015. So even though last year you can see it spiked at 50%, don't let that fool you, because A, the wide receiver position hit even still at a higher rate, and B, in home leagues, they will still get overdrafted even if in sharper leagues, they let them fall a little bit. And this data is from sharper leagues. In home leagues, people were still taking Najee Harris in the fifth round last year. People were still overdrafting running backs. Even in a historic year for the dead zone in 2023, we still saw that wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends were performing extremely well in that area. So again, when you take these two running back swings early, you're understanding and recognizing that these guys could go down. They could have a bust season or whatever, because that's what happens with early round running backs. But if you trust your ability to pick the profiles properly, you're leaning into that variance.
Yeah. And again, don't get me wrong, there are definitely good running backs, like he said, in this dead zone area. It's more so just understanding which running back actually profiles as a dead zone running back. Are you taking them because of their volume? Are you taking them because of your talent? And like we outlined in that video, again, a lot of micro player takes. We talk about, you know, the James Conners, the James Cookses, you know, all that range of running backs in that video specifically. But basically, when you're drafting a double hero, your goal is not to then double dip and take some of these guys in this mid rounds. By taking your two anchor running backs early, use that, you know, round 4 to 7 range to catch up and draft wide receivers, maybe draft an elite onesie in that spot. And while all of your league mates are chasing running back depth, drafting a lot of these dead zone running backs, you have to inevitably be able to capitalize. When your buffoon league mates are drafting our round 6, round 7 running back profiles, and round 4, that inherently increases the value of the other positions. So for you, you're grabbing your two anchors early, knowing your league mates will try to push the bill on the running backs collectively, and then you can capitalize. Maybe it's a Nico Collins falling to the third round, or maybe it's George Pickens falling to the middle of the sixth. Basically, a lot of the wide receiver ADPs you'll see on Underdog, you can almost discount a round to a round and a half on your home league ADP, which is why you're taking your running backs early, so that when they're catching up, you're getting ahead.
Yeah, and of course, we still want to be drafting best player available and things of that nature. So when you want to use double hero RB, like I said, it is a viable strategy in a room where you expect wide receivers to fly off the board like Underdog Fantasy, and we'll detail that in a second, and in sharper leagues. But double hero is definitely most effective when people are overvaluing the wide receiver position, elevating wide receiver 2s and wide receiver 3s beyond back-end RB1 profiles with legitimate top-end upside. And like I said, you're only going to see that in sharper leagues or in underdog formats. But double hero is a very universal strategy. You can use it when the best player available just happens to be a running back and you're deciding running back is a scarcer position. I'm going to draft 1 or 2 upside swings early, and that's when I'm going to pound out wide receivers in the mid rounds, pound out quarterback and tight end in the mid rounds. So it can work in casual leagues. It can work in sharper leagues. I think it works better in sharper leagues because you're getting better values at running back. But at the same time, it's going to work pretty much no matter what league format that you're in, as long as the best player available are running backs at your selections.
Just a quick definition or a quick reference as to how it would change in each of those league formats. I would say in more casual leagues, you would actually want to get your anchors earlier because you know that the wide receivers are going to fall at value. Whereas in sharper leagues, when you do invest at the running back position early, you know the comparable wide receivers aren't going to be as fruitful in the round 3, round 4, round 5, round 6 area. So we'll get into it in a second, but I actually like modified double hero running back if you're going to be drafting on Underdog, and it's caused us to draft some absolutely phenomenal teams. But specifically, like we mentioned in the hero running back video, wide receivers across the board in your home leagues are a better bet for most part than the running back position. The one area that running back actually beats wide receiver in is the early hit rates for legendary upside. Like you guys can see, round 1, round 2, round 3, we are finding legendary profiles, 10%, 8%, and about 4% respectively for the rounds 1, 2, and 3 running backs. The reason why we're drafting running backs early isn't for a safe volume projection. It's to hit on a legendary running back. It's to hit on your Christian McCaffrey, your Alvin Kamara, your Dalvin Cook, your big time performer at the running back position. And like we'll go through in the ADP, it's clear as day which profiles profile better to potentially hitting a legendary upside rate at the running back position. It's clear as day. Whereas at wide receiver, you can make the case, you know, guys later down the board, you know, Brandon Ayuk, Nico Collins, et cetera. There's a lot of talented wide receivers. At running back, once you get past Christian McCaffrey, Breece Hall, and Bijan Robinson, you are doing a little bit more of a projection. So getting one of those anchors early, specifically in home leagues, puts you so far ahead of the eight ball.
Yeah, and its effectiveness also kind of depends where you pick. Obviously, double hero RB is going to work better if you have Christian McCaffrey, or if you have Bijan Robinson, or if you have Breece Hall. So I would say the higher up on the board you are, the more effective this could be. If you pick 9 to 12, you're probably not in the best spot to execute a double hero RB unless you think that Jahmyr Gibbs and Saquon Barkley are just elite this year. I just don't think they'll be able to compete with the likes of Bijan, with the likes of Breece Hall, and with Christian McCaffrey. You can take one of those top end guys and then pair them in round two or round three with Achane, with Etienne, with Pacheco, with Kyren, with maybe Derrick Henry if you're super into him. This year, more than any other, as we kind of talked about, it is really wild that you can get with this strategy where you can maybe take your double hero RB in round three and round four with Pacheco and James Cook, where normally you'd have to take them round one, round two. But again, depending on your league format, you might be able to get some good values at the running back position. It doesn't have to be the bog standard round one and two. You take your double hero RB and then you're going wide receiver, quarterback, and tight end from that point forward till round eight. Sometimes you can make variations to this strategy, as we kind of talked about and as we'll show in a second. And scoring format and your roster settings are definitely going to impact double hero RB as well.
Yeah, I would say this is probably the most important factor when you're picking a draft strategy for your league. Like we talked about in zero and even hero running back, if you're in a full PPR, three wide receiver start, two flex league, you're more than likely wanting to build around the wide receiver position as a whole. If you're in a half PPR, two wide receiver, one flex league where running backs truly matter, I think double hero is actually going to be your optimal strategy. Again, this is a crucial information point needed before you make your decision on what strategy to choose. Quite frankly, your league settings, your league market are going to dictate your strategy as a whole. We talked about it in the other two strategy videos, but being able to adapt, being able to not go into a draft saying, I'm going to go double hero, or I'm going to go hero, or I'm going to go zero running back, but actually playing it based off how your league mates are approaching the scoring settings as a whole is the best way to approach your fantasy football drafts. Again, don't go in it thinking one thing's automatically going to be the way it's going to go, because we've seen multiple times, you know, once you're in that live chamber, you're in that 12-man draft, you know, barrels are flying all over the place. The person who's able to adjust is the one who ends up winning in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also worth keeping in mind that in a double hero strategy, it's probably not as effective in super flex because you need quarterbacks early. Yeah. It's probably not as effective in a two tight end league or a tight end premium format because those positions have more viability. And like you said, depending on how many wide receivers you can start, if it's full PPR, half PPR, or standard, all of that factors in. It is up to you listening to this to know your league, know your league settings, use what you've heard here so far, and determine if double hero RB is going to be effective in your league. So now we're clear basically on how double hero RB works, two anchor running backs in this strategy. But we also need to pick which kinds of running backs we're going after, which archetype of running back should you draft to anchor your team. In this chart, and I broke this down in depth in yesterday's video, if you want to go back, I've gone back through 9 years of ADP since 2015, and I broke down which running backs boom, which running backs return on ADP, which running backs get injured, which running backs bust, which running backs are silent killers or kind of just fine. And you can see the archetypes of running backs here. And basically, by definition, it's on the screen right now. Breakout candidates year three or younger, haven't had an RB1 finish, trusty veterans, either, you know, 26 years old or in year six plus of their career. And then RBs in their prime is like neither of the first two, where they're under age 26. Maybe they have an RB1 finish already, or their year four or year five of their careers. So between these running back archetypes, you should be able to select your anchors pretty effectively. And if you guys go through this year's ADP, as you can see on the screen, you can see kind of like a heat map of which archetypes we're looking at. Veteran running backs obviously can still hit, like McCaffrey, Barkley, Henry, Josh Jacobs, and that type of thing. But if you're looking for a ceiling, the highest percentage returner of a massive ceiling are those running backs in green, which are, you know, Breece, Gibbs, JT, Kyren, Etienne, Achane, Pacheco, and Rashad White fit the bill for those. Again, all young running backs who are in their prime, who've either been RB1s already or in year four, year five of their career. And then the breakout candidates also return on ADP at the highest rate, which is Bijan, James Cook, Kenneth Walker, guys like that. And they also don't get injured nearly as much as the veteran and the running backs in their prime. So we'll discuss tier breaks. We'll discuss micro player takes during the mock draft. But those specific names that I just mentioned are definitely ones that I am targeting specifically to be my anchors, either round one, round two, round three, round four, depending on if they're the best player available when I'm picking on the clock.
Exactly. And I actually have two examples of the double hero running back draft strategy over on Underdog Fantasy to kind of show you how it would apply to a sharper league market. So this first draft, I would think would be most applicable to your home leagues. Maybe you could make the case, you know, oh, there's no way Jonathan Taylor falls to the mid-second of my home league. Even if you substitute that with, let's just say, Devon Achane, or if you really like Kyren Williams, let's say Kyren Williams is that pick. Basically, the premise, you start off with Breece Hall, you start off with your RB2. For me, it was Jonathan Taylor here. Catch up in the next four picks at wide receiver with Neighbors, Cooper, Jaden Reed, Rome Odunze there. tried to set up a Jake Ferguson, Dak Prescott stack. Dak Prescott ends up getting sniped, so I do take Jordan Love to pair with my Jaden Reed. Able to grab one more wide receiver, five wide receivers by round 10. Grab a couple more running back profiles to basically stop my build and then fill out there with Jahan Dotson at the end. So the final product that you guys can see ended up making a three quarterback build. I like how that team worked out. And in terms of just specifically for underdog, again, this build is going to be a lot rarer for you to be able to do in your home league because Isaiah Pacheco and Travis Etienne, point blank simple, are probably more so 2-3 term picks rather than the value I got them in this draft. But if you guys are over on underdog, you are doing a ton of drafts, you'll notice that the second tier, the third tier running backs is relatively depressed in cost compared to the wide receivers in this range. So like I said, Etienne and Pacheco may go a lot higher in your league, but if you are over on underdog fantasy, you can come up with pretty nifty builds like this, starting off with three wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp, still following the modified double hero strategy where I'm grabbing two anchors, except I'm getting my anchors in round 4 and round 5 there with Travis Etienne and Isaiah Pacheco. And again, maybe not even be still possible in underdog because I do think ETN and Pacheco's ADPs have risen quite a bit. But knowing that at one point in the offseason, I was getting Travis Etienne and Isaiah Pacheco at the 4 or 5 turn, pretty crazy to look back on.
Yeah, those are guys who were technically going in the dead zone who were not dead zone profiles, which is what we were saying early on in best ball drafts, that Etienne and Pacheco and those guys are just way bigger values than they should be. So again, if you guys do want to do underdog drafts, get some practice for your home leagues, of course, head on over there. Use promo code FSE when you sign up. You get 100% back up to $250. You also get a special pick'em in your lobby as well. And you'll get our draft guide for free by making a $10 deposit. That is linked down below. But we are going to get right into the mock draft where we both pick. You're going to be picking from the 2-hole. I'm going to be picking from the 6-hole. And we're going to execute double hero running back strategy here. Let's get into it. All right, so we are now into the mock draft. Again, if you guys skipped ahead in this video, we're doing 2 double hero running back strategy mock drafts. Maybe we'll try and do it so that one of us does like an RB start and one of us maybe tries to deviate a little bit for like 2 running backs somewhere between rounds 1 and 4. You're going to be at the 102. Christian McCaffrey is going to fall to you in this scenario, and you're going to start with him and kind of see how it plays out from there. I'm going to be at the 106. Hopefully I can get one of Bijan Robinson or Breece Hall to fall to me and I can execute. Maybe my double hero doesn't come until round 3 or 4, but I should be able to execute a nice RB start at some point here. So you're on the clock. I'm assuming, again, Tyreek and Christian McCaffrey, you could kind of throw them in a hat, but for the purposes of this video, you can see the scoring format there. It's a 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 flex, full PPR listed at the top. In that type of scoring format, I would probably favor McCaffrey over Hill anyway. So this is where you're going to probably go with this pick.
Yeah, I would agree. And this is why we always make reference to knowing your league scoring format, knowing your league roster settings, because that does make a difference when you're dealing in a tier. Again, I view the top 3 tier of CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey. I'm much more willing to make the McCaffrey pick in this type of setup versus, like we kind of mentioned earlier, a 3 wide receiver, 2 flex setup. Again, comment down below how unlikely it is in your league that McCaffrey would fall past 1, because I mean, it does help us in the algorithm, but I will be taking Christian McCaffrey here, even if that upsets some people, because he should go 101 according to a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Again, know your league, know your league settings. If you have to take him 101 because that's where he's going to go in your league, then you have to take him 101. Like if you want to start a double hero RB, but if you don't want to do that because you don't believe he's the first pick, then you take CeeDee Lamb and you figure it out from that point forward. So I'm going to start my draft with my RB2, which is Breece Hall. He is very easily my RB2. Actually, now that I think about it, the more we're getting a buzz that Bijan and Tyler Algier are splitting more first team snaps, do I think it's going to really factor in the long term? Not really. I think Bijan's going to be just fine. But at the same time, I am worried about it enough that it makes Breece Hall clearly my RB2, because there is absolutely no competition in his backfield for touches. As much as they like Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis and Izzy Abanikanda, this is Breece Hall's backfield until otherwise proven here. So I'm back on the clock. I'm going to be looking around at the board in terms of, do I want to start RB and do the prototypical get your double hero RB start, get your 2 anchors? I didn't think I was going to, but my highest rated players are Brandon Ayuk and Devon Achane. And Brandon Ayuk is currently, there's so much up in the air with him right now that I don't know if he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, a Cleveland Brown, a San Francisco 49er. I have no idea. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to do an RB start from the 106, and I'm going to take my highest rated player, my highest rated running back on the board with Devon Achane, because I actually have him over both Kyren Williams and Jonathan Taylor, who are already off the board. And kind of another thing that you want to do with this strategy is kind of evaluate the board that's happened so far. I've seen that there's been a lot of running backs going off the board. I don't really want to get locked out at that position. And I also can kind of anticipate that maybe the wide receiver position is deep in that rounds 3 to 7 range. So I'm going to grab my two running backs, start here, and kind of figure out the rest from there. Again, it makes it more difficult that you have to catch up at wide receiver, but you got to know your league market to think that you might get some good values in the mid rounds.
100%. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we do see once 8 running backs are selected on this side of the board versus only one selected on this side of the board. By taking Achane here, you're also playing into the fact that, again, I'm sharp. I'm not going to fall into the trap of having to catch up at a position. But when you're playing in your home leagues, a lot of people are going to see this type of board and think, oh my God, like if I don't take my running backs now, like I'll have nothing left by round 4. I'll have nothing left by round 5. So again, that doesn't really happen in this room. Who knows? Maybe they do take a couple running backs in the 3rd round, but in a lot of your home leagues, if they see all this green going before their pick, their nerves get anxious. They start sweating. They start worrying about what that running back position will look like. But with that being said, you're doing more of a, you know, bog standard double hero. I do really like Nico Collins here, and I do view a couple of running backs kind of being in the same tier. So the way I'm going to play this at the 102 is by taking Nico Collins, my top ranked wide receiver, and hoping one of these two running backs falls back. So I'll go Collins here, and maybe I get a running back. Perfect. So like we kind of mentioned, Isaiah Pacheco, not going to get him at the end of the 4th, early 5th, like that underdog example, but he's a guy I'm more than comfortable willing to take in the early 3rd round area of my draft. A guy that, I mean, anytime you can get the workhorse running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, anytime outside of the top 24 picks, I think it's a worthwhile pick.
Yeah. And again, underdog is also a 3 wide receiver, 1 flex format where wide receivers are pushed up the board, particularly for that reason. Yeah. And that's why people push them up the board, because you typically want to have 4 wide receivers on every given week making your lineup. And it's also best ball as well, so you can play more into the chaos of the running back position later on in the draft. But yep, in a home league, I mean, we know that people favor, I know I can start Pacheco every week. I know I can start Achane every week. You know what I mean? That's more of a factor in a managed league than it is in best ball, which is also partially why the running back board is a little bit more pushed up in a home league, because people want that certainty. So I am on the board here. Thankfully, I do get a couple great wide receiver options back to me, where I can go, maybe I've already made a bet on the Dolphins. I could go with Jalen Waddle. I love the projection of Deebo Samuel, particularly if Brandon Ayuk gets moved from the team. So that is actually the direction I can go in. I also would probably consider Mike Evans into that territory as well, but I'm going to go with Deebo Samuel on the clock with this pick, and going to be in a really comfortable position knowing that I actually have a guy that has real wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver one upside, who I got in the 3rd round after starting with a double hero build.
Yeah, for sure. Looking very strong. We do see the typical wide receiver names go off the board after, but there's one specifically that, I mean, if he's somehow available in your home league in the 4th round, don't let the bias go against Malik Nabers, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, so I agree with you, but he's actually not my highest rated wide receiver.
Really?
So yeah, I love Malik Nabers. I think every time you turn on, you open my Twitter feed, all I see is a Malik Nabers highlight of him mossing somebody in practice. But Devontae Smith is actually my highest rated wide receiver, because he's also doing the same thing in his practices. And the Eagles, I've already talked about on numerous occasions, I expect them to throw the ball more this year. Devontae Smith is reportedly having the best camp of his career right now. I wouldn't be shocked if we see the gap close a little bit between AJ Brown and Devontae Smith this year. I think AJ Brown's a superstar, one of the best probably 5 receivers in the league, but Devontae Smith is probably the best one of the best 12 receivers in the league, or the best 15 wide receivers in the league. And I feel more comfortable betting on the Eagles offense than I do on the Giants offense, especially knowing that I've already bet on such great offenses so far. And in the mid rounds, you do have to take more questionable swings on offensive projections. I feel like through round 4, I love just having 4 offenses I believe in.
Yeah, for sure. That is annoying that both Nabers and DK go before my pick, but like we do in all of our drafts, you have to adjust when information gets thrown your way. I ideally would want to grab a wide receiver here. So again, wide receiver plus maybe Andrews is probably the direction I go. Which wide receiver do I want to go? Do I want to go Higgins? Do I want to go Cooper? Those would be the main two names. I believe I went Higgins in the last video, so I'll go with Amari Cooper this time and kind of see what falls back. So we do see 2 running backs go at the turn there to the CeeDee Lamb team. I said I wanted to go Andrews, but honestly, I kind of like what potentially could fall back at tight end at that 6-11 pick. So honestly, I'm actually going to pivot right now on the clock. George Pickens would be in consideration, but knowing that's most likely going to be Brandon Ayuk's landing spot, we're going to push him down the board quite a bit. T. Higgins is just a name that stares back at me at the 5-2 here, to be honest. So I will take him.
Yeah, I mean, he also could go to the Browns and nuke your Amari Cooper as well, but we'll see. I mean, maybe Amari Cooper's going back to San Fran and the other side of the deal, but either way, I'm back on the clock here. Looking at the tight end position, I do think that Mark Andrews is a pretty huge value. I think Kyle Pitts is actually my highest rated tight end, and I kind of want to play it a little gutty here and see if he can fall back to me with the 607. So I am going to grab a wide receiver so I don't get locked out at that position, because as we kind of talked about throughout this video, when you go with two running backs, I think I'm less likely to deviate for an elite onesie because I want to catch up at wide receiver. Again, it is, as we talked about, only a two wide receiver, one flex format, but it is full PPR. So ideally, I want to have a wide receiver in that flex spot. In a full PPR league, I love the upside of potentially just getting a guy that I can lock into my flex every week with Christian Kirk. Obviously, the higher ceiling plays are probably Tank Dell and George Pickens, just given what they can represent for my team. You know what? I'm going to stick to my great offense theme, and I'm going to roll with Tank Dell here with my 506. I don't really take Tank Dell very much because I do technically have, I believe, Christian Kirk rated one spot higher than him. But I like the upside of getting all those three guys in great offenses. And now I can, if I want to, I can just swing big on other players. And Christian Kirk almost actually fell back to me, which would have been awesome.
That would have been nuts.
All the tight ends ended up going, including Evan Engram at the 5'11". Absolutely disgusting right there. There's no way I would take him that high. I'm back on the clock again. Prescott, Murray, these type of guys. This is a bit more of a shallower league format, as we talked about. So I do ideally want to get somebody who's a little bit more of a positional advantage at the onesies. Nothing's really standing out to me a ton at wide receiver. I feel like I can get a good option with my next pick. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take Kyler Murray, who I think can be a quarterback advantage for me there. I had some stacking options later that I could have gone with. Like Purdy later on in the draft, but I like the idea of getting Murray there.
Yeah, and unfortunately for me, there's no real onesie I want to deviate to, considering that all the ones that probably should be going this range, I mean, Evan Engram shouldn't, but I digress, and I would say a little early for Joe Burrow, but the rest of them I would say would be the guys I would deviate for at this range. I played the bait that one would fall to the 6-11, and literally all of them went off the board, but that's fine because I do have an upside piece at wide receiver here with Rashee Rice. Again, you mentioned good offenses. It can't get much better than the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll go with Rashee Rice here, knowing that the upside in this specific roster setting format matters a lot, and Rashee has shown the most last year for these Chiefs wide receivers, so I like that. Another one here, I would be stuck between potentially getting another Chiefs wide receiver or a guy like Calvin Ridley because, quite frankly, like I said, the onesies are kind of dried up. And also a part of the game is knowing that all but one of these teams all but two of these teams in front of me already have a quarterback. So maybe a guy like Dak, a guy like Love, a guy like that is able to fall back to me in the eighth. So the way I'll be playing it is by taking Calvin Ridley here and potentially seeing if maybe I can get a onesie to fall back, because there's no real onesies I want to push up the board.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm actually quite glad that I invested only in good offenses with my earlier picks, because it allows me to deviate into a bad potential offense here with Brock Bowers. So that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Grab myself what I consider to be still elite upside onesie. I don't think he has elite projection right now because of the offense and things of that nature, but I do feel pretty comfortable in Brock Bowers there. So we're going to make one more pick here each, and then we'll kind of go to the end of the draft and kind of recap exactly what happened there. So outside of the running back dead zone now, we're at a position where if I wanted to, I could really take another upside swing at running back. And again, I already have my starting lineup filled out too, if you think about it that way. So I could technically deviate for a running back, but I feel like Jalen Warren and Raheem Mostert and those type of guys were a little bit of tier breaks for me. So I'm going to go back to the wide receiver well here, and I'm going to grab Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's a guy that I believe has a lot of upside this year in PPR formats, especially to become like a top-end wide receiver. And Jordan Love gets absolutely ripped from your heart, and so does Dak.
Both of them. What the hell? I'm back on the clock here, and Team 5 and Team 3 just wanted to be, you know, those guys. So I'll take Brian Thomas here, and you guys will see us once this draft is complete.
All right, so we are now to the end of the draft. You guys can see our two teams. We both executed double hero RBs. Yours is a little bit more modified because you got your second running back in round 3, but I did kind of more of a bog standard with Breece Hall, Devon Achane. Then I hammer out the wide receiver position, grab myself some elite upside onesies with Kyler Murray, Brock Bowers. Again, it is a two wide receiver, one flex league, so I feel pretty confident with Deebo Samuel, Devontae Smith, Tank Dell, and then JSN, Jerry Jeudy, and Dontavian Wicks in reserve. Obviously, if this was a deeper league format, three wide receiver receiver two flex, it's a lot harder to go with a double hero RB start. And then at the end, I mean, when you're in a league format that's this shallow too, I'm swinging for upside after round nine. I don't really care about depth at that point. So I grab Trey Benson, total upside swing. Chase Brown, total upside swing. J.K. Dobbins, total upside swing. Tyrone Tracy, total upside swing. I'm not worried at all if those guys bust on me. I can drop them. I can churn the waiver wire. In shallow league formats, there's definitely plays that you can make in that situation. So you are, you can go over your team here as well.
Sorry. Yeah. In terms of my team, McCaffrey 102, pretty self-explanatory. A lot of people would take him 101 there. Nico Collins there at the 211. I do take Isaiah Pacheco at the 3-2. Now, that's more so for the purpose of this draft. In a real room, would I probably take him over Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Mike Evans, probably not. But knowing that we are doing a double hero running back, I still think Isaiah Pacheco is a worthwhile value at the 3-2. So happy with that. Do realize, hey, I got two wide receiver or two running backs in the first three picks. Need to catch up at wide receiver. So I end up grabbing Amari Cooper, T. Higgins, Rashee Rice, Calvin Ridley, Brian Thomas Jr. Grab Jake Ferguson there at tight end. Was hoping potentially Dak Prescott would have fallen to the 8-11 pick, but still end up grabbing my tight end there because, as you see, Sleeper AI is not the most trustworthy in terms of just randomly taking backup positions. And right after I take Drake Ferguson, we do see, you know, Njoku, Goddard, Schultz, etc., all be drafted as the backup tight ends there. Caleb Williams as my quarterback there. Pair him up with a guy like Deshaun Watson, hoping for some upside between those two guys. Rico Dowdle at running back, I think, is a really proper RB3 to have when your two anchors are McCaffrey and Pacheco. Grab some upside there with Ty Chandler and then finish it off with an upside wide receiver in Jalen Polk.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, maybe sleeper AI isn't as, or your league mates aren't as dumb as the sleeper AI taking backup quarterbacks and tight ends. But sometimes you guys are in leagues where your league mates are just this stupid also. So that's why we went through that. I guess if you could take anything back, you probably would have taken Kincaid or Andrews over T. Higgins or something like that.
Most likely.
Yeah, knowing that's the other thing to remember too. If you guys are drafting on sleeper, on ESPN, on Yahoo or whatever, like, the wide receiver value is a lot better in round 6, 7, 8 than it is on a sharp site like Underdog. You're going to get guys that go in round 6 on Underdog and round 8, round 9 of sleeper drafts. Like, I got JSN at the 8-7. I'm pretty sure he's like a mid fifth round pick on Underdog or something like that at this point in time. So yeah, that is the end of the video. We are basically breaking down the double hero RB as we talked about. Make sure if you guys did enjoy this video, head on down, leave us a like down below, subscribe to the channel. If this is the first time you're checking us out, make sure if you want to get sharpened up for your home leagues, if you want to get our draft guide in the process so you can dominate your league mates, head on over to Underdog Fantasy, use the promo code FSE when you sign up, deposit $10 and you'll get our draft guide totally for free. Dynasty rookie draft guide, rookie film breakdowns, and our redraft rankings manifesto 3.0. If you did it last year, I saw a lot of people asking that question in the comments. You can get one of your friends, your significant other, somebody else to sign up, have them forward you the email, or you can get our draft guide over on flockfantasy.com. Use promo code FSE over there for 30% off, 7-day free trial, and all a bunch of other features. The other draft guides of the other creators are on there too. So you don't just get our stuff. You also get everything that they put out and access to our My Team's future trade value charts, things of that nature. So if you're interested in all that, check the link out down below in the pinned comment. We do have a drawing for our listener league coming up now as well. That is linked down below.
Gotta take the belt from me, baby.
Yeah, Danny won the league last year. I won the league 3 years ago or 2 years ago. So two of the last 3 years, we've taken it down. We need you guys to take down this league and beat us at our own game here. So if you are interested in the listener league, you can sign up down below in the description of this video. But with that being said, peace out and we'll talk to you soon.